Greetings, everybody. This is Pastor Buddy. Glad to have you aboard tonight. Call a friend and tell them that the Shepherd's Call is on the air. We got a great message for you tonight and a teaching experience that we think that will be very informative. And we're going to pass this information along. This is part two of our series. We begun Friday night with the series of Who is Ephraim in Bible Prophecy. Now, it's a great tribe. Very little is known about this particular tribe, but we're going to cover it, and we want the truth to prevail. We have said this before many times, that most people believe that the Jews are God's birthright chosen people. That is a lie. That is not true. It cannot be substantiated by the Scriptures. There is no promises in the Bible that the Jews are God's chosen people. It just isn't in there. But what has been kept secret and what has been kept hidden, and the master children of darkness have done a good job of really covering who is the birthright people in the Bible. And we are exposing that in the last days. That is our ministry, as we are from the tribe of Ephraim. We were chosen and called, given this knowledge, and we are in the service tonight to instruct Jacob Israel, who has been in a state of slumbering sleep and blindness for many, 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 many years. Well, we are part of the system that will change all of that in the years to come. This is the age of Aquarius. We are in this age where that the next 2,120 years or so will be devoted especially to the signs of the heavens as the pouring out. Much knowledge will be brought forth, both good and evil, and it's up to you to decide which one that you will serve or which one that you will pay attention to or which one will save you, because the Bible says in Hosea Chapter 4, verse 6, my people, talking about Israel. Now we're talking about the whole house, not just a specific tribe. You see, Judah, or the Jews, are only one tribe. Never were they to have the birthright. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. And we are going to do this series, and probably will be on it all week long, hammering on this issue. Why? Because we believe that we are laying the groundwork for a new beginning for the knowledge that the truth will set those free. As it says, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Now, if you don't know truth, it must be that you are bound or you are within the confines of the limitations of your understanding, and the Bible would have you to grow in grace. So every day is a learning experience in the Scriptures, and you must study to show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, we left off Friday night in the 48th chapter of the book of Genesis. We begin at verse 3. We're going to cover verse 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8 through 20. Before we end the series here, and we're going to talk about the two offspring of Joseph. Now remember, Joseph is the 11th son of Jacob's strength. He is actually the firstborn from Rachel, and to him went the birthright privilege, not the Jews, not Judah. Ladies and gentlemen, we have erred in our understanding. We've been led down the primrose path of deceit, a way that seemeth right, the end being death thereof. Now, quickly we go to Revelation chapter 3 and 9, and then we will quote 2 and 9. Both are specifically indicating that the Jews are liars. There is a faction of Jews in the earth that are born to lie. Now, who are these Jews? We're going to cover that in a future episode when we teach on how the sons of Jacob mixed their genetic seed with Cain, or the offspring of Cain, thereby bringing a corrupted bloodline into the house of Israel. And we call it in our teaching series, How the Snake Got Into the House of Israel. It is very clear that it was blood-infused. Now, Satan's plan from Genesis 3:15, where the two seeds were to war continuously, Satan had a great plan, and that was to infuse his demonic bloodline into the correct bloodline and then work feverishly to bring his bloodline to the top and to make obscure or to do away or to destroy the bloodline of the true blue Jacob Israel. Now, why was that? Because the war of the two seeds were to continue until the last days, when in the book of Romans, chapter 11, verses 25 and 26, it is recorded that there shall come someone out of the house of Israel, out of Zion, and they shall awaken or turn Jacob back to Yahweh's truth. And we believe, as we have stated before, we have just gone through, we're just now in the final stages of wrapping up the Piscean Age. That means that the fish were caught for 2,000 years. Christ came in the fish age. I explained that in the series of the Consolations. That it's all in the stars, written and recorded. Nothing can be added to it, and nothing taken away. Again, the enemy came in unaware, and let me give you the mission of the enemy: to kill, steal, or to destroy. Each one of those three spearheaded principles of the divine plan that Satan has in a demonic way, the Bible says they will change the truth of Yahweh into a lie, and they will worship the creatures more than the Creator. And we explained that in the series of the 12 Tapes and the Consolation series. And we want you to be well aware tonight that Yahweh's truth is now, and from henceforth. Nothing can be added to it, ladies and gentlemen. And no weapon, I repeat, no weapon that includes the atomic, the electromagnetic e-bomb, as it is known, or anything else, no weapon formed against this truth will prosper. Why? Because this is the chosen day, the chosen time, and it is now time for truth, Yahweh's truth, to come upon the scene in a way that has been kept secret from the foundation of the world, but in the last days shall be revealed by his prophets, the holy ones of Jacob Israel. Now, it is true, ladies and gentlemen, that we have been led by the error or the lie, John 8:44, Satan is a liar. Oh, my. Now, let me repeat that and place the emphasis upon the position of the positive of the influence of the verb of the word Satan, modifying the action which is his offspring, which is the seed. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, Satan has a corrupt seed upon the earth. Now, why? Because the Bible is very plain in Genesis 3:15, where the curse of 3:14 and 15 was applied to the serpent. And to the serpent he said, I will curse your seed. Now this seed is a genetic curse seed. And unless this seed, unless it infuses in the bloodline every five or six generations, it begins to mutate and it destroys itself from within. It has a genetic curse upon it. Now, need I go into, this is the seed of Cain. Now, the seed of Cain is crept in like the children of Yahweh, according to the book of 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, it says that Satan and his descendants have changed themselves into ministers of Christ. Now, what does the word Christ mean? It simply means anointing. It means also in the Antichrist, meaning the anti-anointing or the reverse anointing. And the Bible says Yahweh himself shall send these demonic beings that have changed themselves into the preachers of Christ, that the Bible says he will send them a strong delusion that they may believe a lie and be damned and deceive the very elect. If you are not Yahweh's elect, you shall receive the deceiving power of Satan, who has it in his hands and in his power, delegated by Yahweh himself and sent for this purpose, that he might destroy them that reject the true King of all kings, Yahweh, and are not, and I repeat, they are not his sheep. Now, those preachers in this pretense, we're talking about the bell box ministers. What's the bell box? Anywhere where they gather and congregate on a false altar, something that is man-made, as it was in the days of Baal and Balaam, the prophets, as they began to take money from the believers, and they brought in a religion that became very popular. Catholicism is the major instrument of Christianity. And yet the 17th chapter of the book of Revelations exclusively tells about how this great whore corrupted the whole earth, and out of her came a Protestant or a Protestant movement that went out from the whore, adopted her triune religion, three gods. That is a preacher, ladies and gentlemen. The Bible only exclusively talks about one Yahweh, and Yahweh is not a god. In Isaiah 44 and 6, it says, is there a God beside me? Yea, I know not any. Yahweh is not a God. There are gods. We have a Father. Oh, my. Praise Yahweh. We have a Father who is not a God. He is the Creator. Only men have gods of their minds, falsely called gods, because in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 8 verses 5 and 6, the Bible tells us very plainly that there are many lords and many gods. So when you get into the Lord God expression, you have bought into the golden, delicious apple of poison. Oh yes, it tastes good in your mouth, but when you swallow it, it becomes bitter, quinine, in your belly, because the Bible says in that day they will stand before him and say, Lord. When you look up the word Lord, it definitely takes you back from the Strong's into Baal, B-A-A-L, converted. And now it has been camouflaged, repositioned, and brought out again, that Baal may be the supreme deity of the people of the earth and the masses of people. You say, Pastor Buddy, I know a lot of good Christians and they're not all wrong. It's not based on how good you are. You can give all your goods to feed the poor, and if you don't have charity, you see, just giving your stuff away is not charity. What is charity? Well, the Bible is very plain in the explanation of charity. Charity rejoices in the truth. Now, if so be that when these bellbox preachers, they won't let Pastor Buddy, I'm not welcome at First Baptist Church on East Main. I'm not welcome at the Second Methodist Church. I'm not welcome at the Jehovah Witness Church. I'm not welcome at the Mormon Church. I'm not welcome at any of these denominational bellboxes that have these steeples, which are nothing but palaces. Get the book on the two Babylons by Alexander Hyslop and read how that this Babylonian church has made a mockery out of Christianity, or so-called Christians. Ladies and gentlemen, this is truth beyond a shadow of a doubt. All you've got to do is study to show yourself approved workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Most people take what they have been traditionally taught as truth, smite their breasts, as did the prophets of Baal. Of course they were sincere. Sincerely sick with sin because they would not acknowledge the true one. The Bible said, in the beginning was the Word was with Yahweh, and the Word was Yahweh. And the Word, Yahweh, was made flesh and dwelt among us. Now, I've sort of deviated a little bit off of the subject here of Ephraim, but it is very important that I include that portion of truth in, that you may know and understand that Yahweh is speaking only to his lost sheep of a book or the house of Israel, the ones that are written in the Lamb's book. Now, Yahweh said, I am not of this world. That is a statement that is basically blows out all of Christianity doctrine. They don't believe that Christ is alive. They don't believe the one that died and the nail prints in his hand got up this morning and had breakfast. Oh, you say, I don't believe he has to eat, Pastor Buddy. Well, ladies and gentlemen, he ate for the 33 years he was down here, and he ate after he rose from the dead. Acts chapter 10 says that 43 says we did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. Why can't he drink and why can't he eat? I plan on eating a final or a beginning of the end supper with him when I reach home, as well as you invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Yes, he can eat and drink. And yes, he will do it again with us in the kingdom, praise Yahweh, when he comes to be glorified and admired by the saints, and he's only coming back for his people. Now, if that makes you mad or excludes you, then it must mean that you weren't included in the plan. You see, if you take a pack of dogs, and they are in a big pack, and you throw a large stone into the pack, only the one that gets hit does the yakking. If you're yakking and bucking on this, it must be that you're one of the dogs that's getting hit with a stone. Now, the Bible said this stone was set in order of the builders. I recommend that you take this rejected stone, which is the name of Yahweh, a name above every name, no salvation in any other, anything imitation or false or counterfeit just will not do. You must be born again of the water and the Spirit in the divine name of Yahweh. No substitutes, ladies and gentlemen. I don't want to hear your sad stories. Well, I don't know what I've got, Pastor Bud. Lord of God, my mommy, she was a good woman. My dad, I has nothing to do with truth. Yahweh just assumed to send your mommy to hell as he would mine. Yahweh doesn't love your mommy any more than he loves mine. But if your mommy and my mommy will not hear the word of Yahweh, they're not in love with Yahweh. And they shall depart on that day, irregardless of how much you slap your breast and holler, you've got God. Now notice, the prophets of Baal did the same. They even so emphatically were shouting out the name of Baal from the morning till the evening, and that they cut themselves in frustration. Now why would they cut themselves? You know, a lot of people think they were just up there whacking on their skin in frustration. That's not what they were doing. You see, the Baal cults were bloodsuckers. That's true, ladies and gentlemen. You know, you said, ain't none on earth today, now glory to God. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you evidently don't know about the secret society and this blood-sucking generation of Cainites that are still present upon the earth, and of course they don't care for you hollering Christ. Why? Because the word Christ coming from the word, Hindu word, Krishna, inserted into the text many years ago, and you say, well, it doesn't matter. Well, you know, the word not was instructed or inserted by the master changer or the translator, Satan. He always said, the day that you eat of this forbidden fruit, you shall surely die. The only thing that Satan did, he added one word to the text, sold it to the woman, and she bought into it, and now, of course, we have a problem. Well, the word not doesn't seem like it weighs a lot until you spell it backwards. And then it's more weight than you can pick up, and it's more burden than you can bear, and you can't go to heaven with all these knots in your life. Ladies and gentlemen, you must have repentance and remission of sin. Acts 2:38 tells you how. Except the name Jesus wasn't in the original King James. And so then, if you believe it's Jesus' name, you're still believing a lie. And you can believe a lie and be damned. Now, you must turn from these traditional things that you've been taught to the truth. How can you hear without a preacher? And how can he preach except he be sent? Of course, the Bible is emphatic that Ephraim is the birthright son of Yahweh. He was chosen, and I gave you the illustration of Genesis 49 when the great prophet Jacob took his 12 sons and he began to prophesy to each one. You can go there and get the prophecies, and you can see exactly where these prophecies have come true. Now, Ephraim and Manasseh were adopted into the house. Ladies and gentlemen, you can disinherit the original sons from the inheritance. Our laws today can guarantee that you can leave your blood out of the inheritance. But notice this. If you have an adopted son, by the decree of the law, you cannot disinherit an adopted son. He rules or he reigns in the inheritance factor, and thus it is an allegory, a metaphor, if you will, of the truth that Yahweh adopted Ephraim and claimed him as his own and gave him a birthright position in Jacob. Well, ladies and gentlemen, my, how time flies when you are kicking the devil's rear end. That's with the Holy Word, of course. The Word will stop every mouth, and the Word's given for correction and reproof. And we're enjoying it tonight, and we hope you are. The pastor coffee, like it straight down out of the bottle or the urn of the Aquarian Age. That's what you're getting, truth, on the Shepherd's Call. Pastor Buddy, we'll be back in two. Stay with us. Call a friend while we're gone and have them to tune in. They might learn something in the second half because we're really going to kick it up. Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Buddy. You're listening to the Shepherd's Call. We're on a good one tonight. Who is Ephraim in Bible prophecy? Now, we're going to look at the 48th chapter of Genesis. And let me read you this verse. When Joseph saw his father placing his right hand on Ephraim's head, he was displeased. So he took hold of his father's hand as to move it from Ephraim's head to Manasseh's head. Joseph said unto him, "No, my father, this one, Manasseh, is the firstborn. Put your right hand on his head." But Jacob refused and said, "I know, Joseph, I know. He too will become a people, and he too will become great. Nevertheless, his younger brother will be greater than he, and his descendants will become a group of nations. He blessed them that day and said, in your name will Israel pronounce this blessing. May Yahweh make you like Ephraim and Manasseh." And he put Ephraim ahead of Manasseh. Now, my question to you geographically, if we stand in the Atlantic Ocean, and we face due north, as was Jacob, then if we look at the area of Great Britain or the British Isles, Scotland and Ireland, and this great vast place where the majority of the 12 tribes congregated and then dispersed into Western Europe and on up into the Scandinavian or the Northern Denmark countries. Notice that when the dispersion, when they came west, we're talking about the tribes as they came west, if you were standing geographically facing north in the Atlantic Ocean, then to your left would be Great Britain, where Manasseh is. If you was to look right to the west, you would see America, where Ephraim was to become the greater. Notice that both sons were to multiply into mighty nations and peoples. but the younger son was to become the greater people of the two. He was to inherit the double portion of the birthright promises, or God or Yahweh's promises would have been a lie, and not one of his promises, ladies and gentlemen, will fail. Now, I know it looked very dismal. It looked like that when Moses was at the Red Sea, and he had the sea before him and the Egyptians pursuing, that it looked like he was between the devil and the deep, deep blue sea. And in that case, it was, praise Yahweh, a reality truth. But Yahweh had something in store. He parted the waters with the rod of the strength of his name, and they went over on dry ground. That's one miracle, to part the water and make a road through the ocean. A lot of people say, well, they just went through knee-deep water. Well, that would have been a greater miracle than it would have been above their heads, because Yahweh grounded every horse of Pharaoh, his chariot, and all of his men. That would have been a greater miracle if you would look at it in reality. Yahweh parted the waters, then the children of Israel, second miracle, went over on dry ground. Not only did he part the waters, he dried up the muck and the mud and whatever else was laying under that ocean for millions of years, no doubt. He dried it up to where they had a roadbed going right through the sea there at the Red Sea. Now, that's a miracle. Now, Yahweh promised that the younger Ephraim would receive the double portion blessing. America has become the greatest, strongest, mightiest nation upon the earth. Jacob said Manasseh would be great. England and Canada and so on of her prized possessions are great. But the younger shall be greater, and his descendants shall become a multitude of nations, the 13 original states or groups of nations that gathered together out of the tribes of Israel in Europe. And we came to make this place a place of the promised land, which it was a land truly flowing of milk and honey. Notice, this was a land of the trees that only Yahweh said could be found in America. When he mentioned the trees, we're talking about the oaks, the pines, the box elders, and things of this nature, which are only native to America. Now let us turn to the next recounting of a blessing upon the sons of Jacob. And notice the blessings were to occur to the sons of Joseph. Jacob called for his sons and said concerning Joseph, his firstborn from his wife Rachel, Joseph is a fruitful vine. A fruitful vine near a spring whose branches will climb over a wall. And out of this mighty one shall come the stone shepherd, the rock of Israel. Now, ladies and gentlemen, right there in the 24th verse of Genesis 49 is the most amazing prophecy that is laid dormant with nobody giving credence and nobody giving notice, nobody saying that that prophecy must be fulfilled only in the son of Joseph, that the Messiah, the stone shepherd, out of Ephraim, not out of Judah. All these lying prophets, these deceived foxes on the desert, as they seek to gather together, they preach just like, you know what, they remind me of a bunch of penguins upon the ice cap walking straight off a cliff. They waddle in succession right into danger, and they are hawkers or preachers or parrots of something that they have been taught. They would preach by the anointing of a spirit. They would search out the great mysteries that's been hidden from the foundation. But ladies and gentlemen, you must wear the crown, but you must first pay the price. What is the price to wear the crown? You must be called, chosen, and faithful. You must be tried. And then if you stand the trials, if you are willing to fast, if you're willing to go hungry, if you love the truth more than you love money, you will be tried. I've had 3 millionaires try to buy my preaching ministry. I'm not for sale. I've been offered homes, paid for and deeded to me if I would come and be their preacher. I'm an independent. I'm a hard-headed Israelite. I am one of those, praise Yahweh, that has been tried and tested through the duration of my ministry of over 40 years. I know what it takes to please Yahweh. I know how easy it is to sell out for filthy lucre or for praise and pats on the back. A lot of people tell me, Pastor Buddy, you're one of the most hated preachers that I've ever known. I say, well, my heavens, am I ever fulfilling prophecy? The Bible says, listen to me, the scripture says, beware of a man well spoken of. If you find a man on the earth and he's well spoken of, there's something wrong with that preacher. If he ain't making somebody mad, and usually the devil and all of his angels and everyone he's got to see down here will be mad at you as they hated all of the prophets. They stoned them, they killed them, they misused them, they abused them, they persecuted them. Yahweh said, which of the prophets did you not persecute? Well, the Bible says that they that live righteously in Yahweh shall suffer persecution. Now, sticks and stones may break my bones, but these lying demons or whatever they think about me, I really don't care. Why? Because I'm not trying to please you. I don't want you to be one of my disciples just because you like the way I preach. Matter of fact, I'll do my best to make you mad. Not enough to lay down everything that you've been taught, to strip down to the bare essentials and sell what you've got, take up your cross and serve Yahweh like I did. I own nothing in my name. I have a home here that I live in, but it's not in my name. I have an automobile I drive. It was given to me. It's not in my name. Matter of fact, today I received a package from a brother in California, a great dear brother, knowing that I had a need. And this brother shipped me out a package I received today, praise Yahweh, to help me in my ministry. That's what it's all about. Ask and you shall receive. I just put in a petition to Yahweh. Twice a month I go on the altar, yes, Yahweh's altar, yes, in the nature, in out in the wilds, in the woods, where I have cleaned off a place, put in 12 stones, and made a circle where I enter in twice a month, more times if I feel led to, but at least twice a month in the cycles, and it's a holy time, and I offer up my prayers to Yahweh through a fire. Praise Yahweh, and I know that it's acceptable to my Yahweh, who is himself a consuming fire. And remember the burning bush that Moses looked at. It burned, burned, and burned, and yet the tree was not consumed. This is a marvelous mystery. You ought to come to a altar place that we have when we have feasts, and you should get a ideal of how the ancients worshipped. You see, when Noah, when he landed after 150 days, 5 months to be exact, of a 30-day month, 3 fives is 15, which equals 150 days, praise Yahweh, when he landed, he didn't go to Burger King. He didn't go to Disney World. He went and built him an altar. And I'm preaching to a bunch of Israelite sheep out there don't even know what I'm talking about. You're so dumb, led down the dumb path. You've been beat with an ugly stick of dumbness, praise Yahweh, until you don't even know where and how to worship Yahweh. Yahweh's got a way, and then you've got yours. Your way's not his, and his certainly ain't yours. As heaven is higher than the earth, so is his way above yours. You must condescend to the foolish thing. Oh, my heaven, did I say that correctly? Of course I did. Yahweh chose the foolish thing. He didn't choose the traditional norm. He gets out of the norm. When Yahweh was down here, did he go into that temple that took 46 years to build? Yes, he did. One time, you can read in the Bible, where he went in there. What did he do? Took his belt off and he beat the hell out of those Canaanite Pharisees and all those people that had turned that place into a den of thieves. Well, that's what you got today in your bell box altar places where they worship, nothing but a den of thieves, robbing the people, blinding them, and keeping them from looking up into the consolations to know the rest of the story that's above their head. Just like a bunch of hogs under an acorn tree, never looking up to see where the source of their food comes from. Your food today is gospel, and if you don't like the the menu, praise Yahweh, switch it off, and run back to the mailbox. Because when you hear this pastor, you're going to have to move in or out. This gospel will drive you or draw you. I didn't come to soothe you, please you. I didn't come to tickle your ears. I come to take the gospel and a sword and initiate you into the Melchizedek priesthood, where you can be a king and priest. As thus saith the Vikings when they landed on the shores of France, the terrified Israelites run and hovered up when the great giant Vikings came in, and they said, "Where's your king?" Ha! The Vikings looked at one another and laughed and said, "We don't have a king. We're all kings, praise Yahweh." And that means that they were all Melchizedek kings. That's what you ought to become. You're more than a little dumb sheep. You are masters of the universe. There is nothing in your power that you can't do if you have the truth. Remember, I said you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. But Satan and his prophets, his false prophets, they have come to bind you and put you in prison. And Yahweh said in the 16th chapter of the book of Matthew, he said, "I will give you power to bind those on the earth, or give you power to loose those on the earth. I'll give you power to bind in heaven, or I'll give you power to loose in heaven." Ladies and gentlemen, that is the priesthood of the Melchizedek kingdom priests and kings. They have the power to do that. You say, "Oh, buddy, you're just sounding brass and tinkling cymbal." Well, it's enough gospel probably to get you to turn it up, because you're not used to meat. You're on milk. You're unskillful. You're anemic. I see most of these Christians run around here, and they're so dumb when it comes to Scripture. They can't quote two Scriptures in succession without misquoting it, and most of the time it's just a bunch of tradition. Why? Because they have been led down the path of deceit. Satan comes to kill you, steal you, destroy you. I come to free you with a gospel. I don't want your allegiance. I don't want you to follow me around and make me a cult leader. I'm not in a cult. I'm in the kingdom of heaven. I want you to go if you want to go. If you don't, go to hell with all nations that forget Yahweh. That's where you're heading anyway, if you don't repent and get baptized in the magnanimous, magnificent, almighty, all-powerful, the only name. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm sorry to say this, it's the only name. Now, you can come before me with all other names, and then I am going to say, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you." That's what Yahweh's going to say when you come up with a false name. Now, this name, 5,823 times alone in the Hebrew Bible, it's in there, brother. It's in there, sister, and you don't have to be ignorant.
Say, "I can't read Hebrew, brother Buddy."
Listen, ladies and gentlemen, the names are of all individuals, including Satan, were translated correctly into the Bible as transliterated sound for sound. But the name Yahweh got translated out. Now, let me give you something here. There is an accepted name in the Bible that is false. There is a rejected name out of the Bible that is true. Now, which one do you want?
Say, let me see now. Well, Mommy didn't have it, so I don't guess I'll need it. Her Daddy didn't have it.
Well, listen, you can't die for Mommy, and you can't die for Daddy. Maybe they never heard it. They will be judged on the amount of information they have, and they will be destroyed for the lack of it. So will you. No exceptions. Everyone included in the plan, my people, I repeat, my people, Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, are destroyed for the lack of knowledge. Therefore, if you reject knowledge, he will reject you. Now, let's go on in to, well, I can't, I'm out of time. Praise Yahweh, my heavens, I might make this a 12-set series on the prophecy of who is Ephraim. Before I get through with this, ladies and gentlemen, you'll know exactly. We'll take on all comers who dispute that Ephraim is America. Anybody wants to get in the tangle here, listen, you're coming into the area where there's a junkyard dog, and I'm not chained up. I guard the territory real well. I know what the next page says. I don't have to hunt, stutter, and I have no trouble of getting my big butt in gear, praise Yahweh, because I've done my homework. I have fasted, I have prayed, I have sought Yahweh, and I come to preach the gospel, and I will not be bought, talked out of it, or walked around. If you're going through the door, you got to go through the truth, and the truth is what we're looking for tonight. So, Pastor Buddy, let me tell you how to get a hold of me. Maybe if you want to, you got to have guts to call me. You got to have guts to come before me, because I'll bury you in the great name of Yahweh. and I'll tell you some things that'll probably spin your head. You'll never be the same. If you ever come, you'll never go away the same. Ask a few that have. Praise Yahweh. Why? Because we are in the soul changing business. We change you from deceit into truth, and if you're man enough to walk there, or woman enough to stand it, then if you can take the heat, you can stay in the kitchen. This is Miracle 2 time, praise Yahweh. Let me give you my Miracle 2 sponsors. These are fine folks. They don't ever call me. They say, buddy, preach it. And the harder I preach it, seems like the more they enjoy it. Praise Yahweh. So that's the kind of sponsors I've got. I don't have to answer to a deacon board. I don't have none, praise Yahweh, to tell me what to do. And if I have got some deacons, they don't tell me what to do. Praise Yahweh. I'm Yahweh's free man. I was born free, and I'm going to stay that way till I die. And that'll probably be sooner than later because I know what's coming down the road. But let me show. The Bible said, he that seeketh to save his life shall lose it. He will lose his life for my sake, will save it. Well, I'm in the saving business, and especially my own life, as I'm interested in. Dr. Gary, west of the Mississippi, you need to give this man a call. This is a great man. Praise Yahweh. One of the finest men that I have ever met. And his number is 877-289-7439. He's a professional, a doctor. He can give you a confirmation of not only the gospel, but the Miracle 2 product that he sells here. And he's a wonderful man. You'll enjoy talking with Dr. Gary. If you're east of the Mississippi, Dr. Jack, another great man of the truth. This man is awesome. He is a doctor also, and he is knowledgeable in the medical field. You can call Dr. Jack at 888-281-7320, and that's my Miracle 2 sponsors. Now, if you'd like to call Pastor Buddy tonight, my telephone number, if you're tuning in for the 49th time, it takes a lot of people a long time to ever get up the nerve to call me. Well, listen, praise Yahweh, my number is 423-626-2172. Now, if you'd like to write me, just simply say, Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip is 37824. Praise Yahweh. We're right here in the hills of East Tennessee. I'm an old mountain preacher. I got my education at LMU. And people say, well, is that a University of Higher Learning? I said, yes, it is. And they said, what's the name of it? I said, the Lone Mountain University. That's LMU, the Lone Mountain University. I went into these lonely mountains here in East Tennessee, went into a cave, pushed my plate back, refused to eat for long periods of time to get to know what I'm telling you. Now, the more I got to know, the more people hated me. And the more people hated me, the more Yahweh loved me. So I had to make a decision. Do I want the love of the people and the masses, or do I want the love of Yahweh? If Yahweh is for me, who can be against me? If Yahweh's against me, who can be for me? Yes, ladies and gentlemen, that was an easy decision. I said, Yahweh, I'm with you all the way. Help me, give me strength, make me humble, and if I get too big for my britches, set me down a few times and set me down and knock me down, whatever it takes. But just like the Bible said, when a righteous man falls seven times, he shall arise. I've been knocked down more than I've been up, but I've always got back up, and I'm still on the path, the journey, and I want to make my election and calling sure. Heaven is want to be my home. I want to go to heaven, praise Yahweh. If you do, write for the truth. The truth will make you free. And it will give you access into the mighty kingdom of Yahweh. Pastor Buddy, been a joy being with you tonight. My, we're going to really pump it up tomorrow night. I will try to stay within the confines of the text of my message. Seems like tonight I've been all stirred up. I'm really pumped up tonight. I feel mighty good. Praise Yahweh for this wonderful truth. I just feel so good that I can't hardly stand myself. I feel like I'm about 16. I'm 65 going on 70 as me and one of the brothers talked today. But I feel wonderful. Not an ache, not a pain. I don't have arthritis. I've got Yahweh, and I am overfed, praise Yahweh. I'm not overweight, but I do eat good. I sleep good, and I really thank good, praise Yahweh. And I thank him most of all for all those things above. He is the life. He's the breath I breathe, and I wonderfully praise him. So tonight, if you have a question, call Pastor Buddy, area code 423-626-2172. Who is Ephraim? You'll find out more tomorrow night as we continue this exciting series on who is Ephraim. He's the birthright child. I'll prove it, ladies and gentlemen, taking on all comers. We'll see you tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and all of Jacob Israel, the sheep that are out there, both lost and found. This message is in for you and for the love of Israel. Yahweh bless you. See you tomorrow night at 8 o'clock Eastern Standard Time.
Thank you for listening to the Shepherd's Call, live on Truth Radio. We hope you'll join us each evening from 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on this same station. Praise Yahweh.